welcome to Program Notes for your North Carolina Symphony, an exclusive production of the Triangle Radio Reading Service. I'm George Douglas. I'll be reading the program notes for all of the Classical Music Series concerts by the North Carolina Symphony for the 2018-2019 season. The program notes I'm reading today are for the performance by the North Carolina Symphony on the following dates: Friday and Saturday, October 12th and 13th at Maymandy Concert Hall, Duke Energy Center for the Performing Arts in Raleigh, and Sunday, October 14th at 7:30 p.m. at the Wilson Center, Cape Fear Community College in Wilmington. This concert will be conducted by Grant Llewellyn. The featured guest performers will be the pianist Makoto Ozon, soprano Eliza Bagg, and the Cherokee Chamber Singers. The program on this performance will include the following. The symphony begins with the Fanfare for the Common Man by Aaron Copland, and that will be followed by George Gershwin's Rhapsody in Blue, featuring the guest pianist. Then, following the intermission, a world premiere of a composition by William Britell. It's called Si Otsidwa, which means We're Still Here. And that will be followed by Aaron Copland's Suite from Appalachian Spring. Now I'll begin our reading of the symphony notes. I'll begin with background information about our special guests for this concert. Majoring in jazz composition and arrangement, Makoto Ozon graduated summa cum laude from Berklee College of Music in 1983. The same year, he gave a solo recital at Carnegie Hall, becoming the first Japanese musician to be exclusively signed to CBS Records. His career has brought him a Grammy nomination in 2003, and he has recorded and toured with Gary Burton, Chick Corea, Paquita de Vera, Arturo Sandoval, Branford Marsalis, and many others. In 2004, he formed the big band No Name Horses in Japan. The band has been performing in France, Austria, the U.S., the U.K., Singapore, and Japan ever since. In recent years, Ozon has also been focusing on works from the classical music repertoire, playing concertos by Bernstein, Mozart, Rachmaninoff, and Prokofiev, with major orchestras both in Japan and abroad. His recording Road to Chopin, 2010, celebrated the bicentennial of Chopin's birth and earned him the Chopin passport from the Polish government. In 2014, he was appointed by the New York Philharmonic to take part in their Asian tour and later participated in a special performance at their home concert hall in New York City. The San Francisco Symphony also invited Ozon to take part in a concert later that year. His third collaboration with Gary Burton, Time Thread, it's called, was released in June 2013 after forming a quartet with Dave Weckl, Tom Kennedy, and Gary Meek in 2015. They headed for a tour in the U.S., Europe, and Japan. In May 2016, he performed in a tour of Japan with Chick Corea. In 2017, Ozon and Gary Burton, who announced his retirement from performing, toured the U.S. and Japan. In August, his trio with Clarence Penn and James Janus released Dimensions, their first album in a decade. And he was invited by the New York Philharmonic to perform three concerts in November. Now here's some information about our guest soprano, Eliza Bagg. Born and raised in Durham, North Carolina, Bagg is a Brooklyn and Los Angeles-based musician. Along with creating her own work, she has worked closely with composers including John Zorn, Michael Gordon, and Caroline Shaw, among others. Her 2018-19 season includes the new piece by William Britell, heard in these performances, a collaboration with Daniel Wohl for voice and string quartet, small chamber pieces by John Zorn, and new works by Ben Frost, Juliana Barwick, and Angelica Negron, written for her vocal trio's performance at the Liquid Music Series. Bag leads and performs with her experimental pop band, Pavo Pavo, critically acclaimed for its washed-out playfulness and wistful exuberance by The Guardian. Pavo Pavo's debut album, Young Narrator and the Breakers, was released in 2016. She also writes, records, and performs a solo performance project as Liesel, S-I-L-I-S-E-L, Liesel. Other recent performances include Michael Gordon's opera Aquanetta at the 2018 Prototype Festival, touring with Roomful of Teeth, and appearances at the Chicago Symphony Orchestra's Music Now series, Duke performances, the Metropolitan Museum of Art, The Kitchen, the Guggenheim Museum, Infinite Palette, Alice Tully Hall at the Lincoln Center for the Performing Arts, Tanglewood Music Center, Iceland Airwaves, and Ecstatic Music Festival. Bag has performed with ensembles such as the Bang on a Can All-Stars, Howl, A Far Cry, Laura Lee Ensemble, the Choir of Trinity Wall Street, Now Ensemble, Tenet Vocal Artists, Conspirare, and Victoire. Recent collaborations with electronic, pop, and indie rock artists include Lord, Tim Hecker, Olga Bell, Nick Zamuto, Helado Negro, Juliana Barwick, and Sam Furman. Beg graduated in 2012 with a bachelor's degree in music from Yale University. Growing up in Durham, she spent most of her time playing violin and studying modern dance. And now background on our special guest singers, the Cherokee Chamber Singers. This group is the premier vocal ensemble from Cherokee High School in Cherokee, North Carolina, under the direction of Michael Yannette. As representatives of both their school and the Cherokee community, their unique and varied programs offer audiences not only a traditional and modern glimpse of Native American music, but also performances of traditional choral, classical, musical theater, and pop rock genres. They have performed at various venues around the country, including Carnegie Hall, the Smithsonian Institution, and Disney World. The singers are especially proud to represent their community for the world premiere of this work by William Britell, commissioned by the North Carolina Symphony, which was derived from the thoughts and feelings of the Cherokee Chamber Singers themselves and their fellow students at Cherokee Central Schools. And the North Carolina Symphony begins this concert with the Fanfare for the Common Man by Aaron Copland. Copland was born November 14, 1900 in New York City. He died December 2, 1990 in Sleepy Hollow, New York. The work was composed in 1942, the first performance March 12, 1943, performed by the Cincinnati Symphony Orchestra under the direction of Eugene Goossens. Here is the overview. During World War II, many conductors and music presenters commissioned composers to write inspiring works reflecting the spirit of the times. In 1942, Eugene Goossens, conductor of the Cincinnati Symphony Orchestra, commissioned several American composers to write fanfares to commemorate various aspects of the nation at war. Copland's Fanfare for the Common Man was scored for brass and percussion. The composer wrote, "It honors the man who did no deeds of heroism on the battlefield, but shared the labors, sorrows, and hopes of those who strove for victory." The work is the only one of the commissioned fanfares that has remained in the repertoire. The music has seen duty for everything from national conventions to TV commercials, although without the funereal opening bass drum and timpani solos. Copland reused the fanfare theme to great effect as the introduction to the finale of his Symphony No. 3. The Fanfare for the Common Man is written for four horns, three trumpets, three trombones, tuba, timpani, and percussion. Next on the program, the symphony performs Rhapsody in Blue by George Gershwin, along with the guest pianist, Makoto Ozon. George Gershwin was born September 26, 1898, in Brooklyn. He died July 11, 1937, in Los Angeles. The work was composed between 1923 and 1924, the first performance February 12, 1924, in New York City. Paul Whiteman was the conductor, with the composer himself as the soloist. Now here's the overview. George Gershwin was the first American composer to make jazz acceptable to the American classical music audience. The son of a poor Jewish immigrant in Lower Manhattan, he was a natural-born pianist and left school at 16 to become a pianist with a Tin Pan Alley firm plugging their new songs. He soon commenced writing songs himself, eventually teaming up with his brother, Ira, as lyricist to become one of the most successful teams of song and musical comedy writers on Broadway. They created a string of immensely successful musicals from Lady Be Good in 1924 to Let 'Em Eat Cake in 1933. Gershwin received the commission for an extended jazz composition from a conductor of popular music, Paul Whiteman. Whiteman was the self-styled king of jazz who attempted to make jazz more symphonic and respectable. Whiteman's commission followed an Aeolian Hall concert in the fall of 1923 at which Gershwin had played piano arrangements of a few of his songs. Gershwin composed Rhapsody in Blue in a mere 3 weeks, early in 1924, in a two-piano version. Lacking the skills to orchestrate the work, he turned it over for piano and jazz orchestration to Ferdy Groffé, a popular composer, pianist, and arranger, who served as Whiteman's factotum. Groffé practically lived in Gershwin's house, orchestrating the work page by page as it came from the composer's pen. He also rescored the piece 2 years later for full symphony orchestra. The premiere was a smashing success. Although the critics, true to form, mostly panned it, the audience loved it. Virtually overnight, jazz became respectable. Gershwin himself played the piano part, becoming an instant celebrity. Significant credit for the success must go to Groffé's imaginative orchestration, which has ended up as his most enduring contribution to music, along with his Grand Canyon Suite. The instrumentation for this work is as follows: two flutes, two oboes, two clarinets, bass clarinet, two bassoons, three horns, three trumpets, three trombones, tuba, timpani, percussion, three saxophones, banjo, and strings. Following the intermission, the North Carolina Symphony returns to the stage for the world premiere of a work by William Britell entitled Si Ossidwa, We're Still Here. Britell was born in 1976 in Concord, Massachusetts, and raised in Newton, North Carolina. The work was composed in 2018. Earlier this year, the North Carolina Symphony commissioned this work and gives the world premiere in these performances. Now here's the overview. William Britell describes the fulfillment of his commission from the North Carolina Symphony as a long and illuminating journey. The commission was underwritten in part by the Cherokee Preservation Foundation. Raised in Catawba County, Britell knew virtually nothing about the Eastern Band of Cherokee Indians. His Western North Carolina neighbors, except for the image its people reveal to tourists and casino goers. Before even beginning the composition, he made extended visits to Cherokee to learn as much as he could about that culture in order to provide an appropriate and sensitive musical setting for statements of identity by Cherokee middle and high schoolers. In the fall of 2017, Cherokee student leaders assembled a forum for open discussion on what it means for them to be Cherokee in today's world and how they view their cultural heritage. Britell, with the assistance of leaders of the community, selected a series of these statements and assembled them into three songs to be performed by teenage choral students from the community, the Cherokee Chamber Singers, and the North Carolina Symphony. the world premiere performances of Sea of Sidwa, We Are Still Here, in Raleigh, and throughout Western North Carolina, are the culmination of the North Carolina Symphony's music education residency in Cherokee, which began in the spring of 2016. Britell regards this new work as a marriage of his music and the vision of the Cherokee students in terms of text and overall direction. The students wanted the music to take inspiration from the classical tradition and from the more modern forms of music that they listen to, including pop, rock, hip-hop, and hop, and Broadway, all music that has been influential in his musical life as well. Britell calls his compositional approach genre fluid, reflecting his training as a classical composer, rock musician, and a jazz pianist and arranger. The title Sea of Sidwa, We're Still Here, resonates on multiple levels. Depending on the context, the statement of the song title can be taken as defiant, angry, celebratory, or, as in this instance, as an existential statement that incorporates thousands of years of history. The students wanted to convey the sentiment that the Cherokee have overcome countless challenges and nearly unimaginable threats to their existence. The students have defined their essence within the context of contemporary America and refused to be ignored. Now here's what to listen for in this work. An overture introduces the work, and the three choral songs are interspersed with spoken word passages written by members of the Cherokee Chamber Singers. Each of the three choral songs expresses a different perspective on Cherokee identity. The first one is entitled Phoenix Rising. It points to a flourishing future through the image of the phoenix rising from the ashes. Britell appended a quatrain, a four-line stanza, in English, written at the request of the students, in order to visually capture the song's theme and speak directly to the audience. The second part, the second song, is Walls of Glass. Describes a seemingly impenetrable, transparent wall where two cultures can see each other, but only the Cherokee pass through the looking glass to embrace Euro-American culture. The other side has been unwilling or unable to break through to see the Cherokee people as they are. And the third song, We're Still Here, Sea of Sidwa, the title of this work. It's a corollary and response to words of the preceding song, a declaration of permanence and strength. Britell's English quatrain restates the simple words in straightforward terms, serving as a reminder to the audience of its own incomplete understanding. This work was designed for piccolo, two flutes, two oboes, English horn, two clarinets, two bassoons, four horns, two trumpets, three trombones, tuba, timpani, percussion, harp, synthesizer, and strings. And the final work on this program by the North Carolina Symphony is The Suite from Appalachian Spring by Aaron Copland. This work was composed in 1944, revised in 1945. The first performance was October 30th, 1944, in the Library of Congress, with Martha Graham dancing the lead role. Now here's the overview. During his long career, Aaron Copland composed in many different styles. His output included scores for films, The Red Pony, Our Town, The Heiress, works incorporating jazz, piano concerto, music for the theater, and works using the 12-tone technique, piano quartet, piano fantasy. In the mid-1930s, he began to feel an increasing dissatisfaction with the relation of the music-loving public and the living composer. In order to reach a wider audience, he simplified his style to make it more accessible. The first work in this more popular vein was El Salon, Mexico, finished in 1936. This was followed by the works for which he is best known today, his three American ballets, Billy the Kid, Rodeo, and Appalachian Spring. Copeland composed Appalachian Spring for the great pioneer of modern dance, Martha Graham, to be performed at an evening of modern ballet at the Library of Congress. Copeland originally called it Ballet for Martha, but Graham gave it its final title after a poem by Hart Crane, although the ballet bears no relation to the text of the poem. The size limitations of the stage at the library dictated a small ensemble. The original version was scored for 13 instruments, flute, clarinet, bassoon, piano, and strings. Soon after the successful premiere, however, Copeland extracted a somewhat shortened suite from the ballet for full orchestra, which is the version most frequently heard today. In the preface to the score of the suite, Copeland summarized the story of the ballet using the words of the New York Herald Tribune review by Eric Denby, written after the New York premiere. A pioneer celebration in spring around a newly built farmhouse in the Pennsylvania hills in the early part of the last century. The bride-to-be and the young farmer husband enact the emotions, joyful and apprehensive, their new domestic partnership invites. A revivalist and his followers remind the new householders of the strange and terrible aspects of human fate. At the end, the couple are left quiet and strong in their new house. Now here's what to listen for. The sections of the suite merge into each other without pause, but reflect distinctly different moods and scenarios. The haunting but peaceful opening gives way suddenly to an outburst of excitement, comprising several different musical motifs, demonstrating the open octaves and fifths that became the hallmark of Copeland's America style. After building up to a frenzied climax, a solo clarinet interrupts plaintively with the Shaker tune, Simple Gifts. Copeland uses the song as the theme for a set of variations, which themselves increase in intensity as more and more instruments are added with each new variation. Then, with another sudden shift in mood, we are transported back to the quiet introduction and the suite ends as it began. Simple Gifts was composed by Shaker elder Joseph Brackett Jr. in 1848 for dancing during Shaker worship. Copeland's five variations never veer far from the original melody, which he found in a 1940 collection of Shaker songs compiled by Edward D. Andrews. While the tune was certainly perfect for Graham's choreography, it didn't exactly fit the storyline, as the Shakers themselves were dedicated to a life of celibacy. The instrumentation for this work is as follows: for piccolo, two flutes, two oboes, two clarinets, two bassoons, two horns, two trumpets, two trombones, timpani, percussion, harp, piano, and strings. These symphony notes were written and copyrighted in 2018 by Joseph and Elizabeth Kahn. You've been listening to Program Notes for your North Carolina Symphony, an exclusive production of the Triangle Radio Reading Service. I will be reading all of the program notes for the classical music series of the North Carolina Symphony for the remainder of the 2018-19 season. This program is available on demand as a podcast on the day before each concert series and will remain available for the rest of the concert season. I'm George Douglas. Thank you for joining me today. We sincerely hope that listening to Symphony Notes will enhance your enjoyment of your North Carolina Symphony. Goodbye until next time.